I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash, and we're Building Bridges.
We're joined by Workers' Justice Project Executive Director Lidia Gualpa and co-founder of Los Deliveristas Unidos. And we're dealing with one of the most important forms of worker organizing that are spreading around the country, and they are Worker Center. Well, Lidia, it is great to have you with us, and I want to begin by telling us something about the formation of the Workers Justice Project, who it was organized to serve, and the significance of this formation to organize for the rights and benefits of workers and their empowerment. And again, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this show, and also to share a little bit about Workers' Justice Project. So Workers' Justice Project, it's a worker center. We're part of a national movement across the country of organizations that are organizing workers who work in unregulated economies, who are ununionized, and majority of these workers don't necessarily have a pathway for unionization yet. And we have been organizing. Majority of the workers work in industries where there is few to no protections. Workers who, many of them do not know about their rights, are fearful of coming forward because of the fear of retaliation, including to immigration retaliation from or threats from their employers. And just to sum up, Workers' Justice Project, it's an organization that is committed to organize and empower low-wage workers to make sure that they have better living and working conditions in their cities, in their communities. And this is what we're doing in New York, making sure workers have a pathway to making sure they can use their voice to defend their rights and have the ability to organize in their industries and transform their work into dignified labor.
And I want to ask you what brought you to this project. And, of course, you are involved in a very specific part of the Workers' Justice Project, which is Los Deliveristas Unidos. But before we talk about that specific project, tell us something about why you're involved and why you think it is so critically important, this organization of largely immigrant workers, some documented, some not, but workers, to fight like hell for their own empowerment and return for the blood, sweat, and tears they put into their work.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, first of all, the Workers' Justice Project, it's a very personal to me, because my parents are immigrant workers from Ecuador who migrated seeking a better opportunities. You know, as my dad and my mom, they didn't have an opportunity to join a union, and they didn't actually know about their rights. So their own experiences led them to experience exploitation, led them to experience abuse in their workplaces. And actually that impact our family, right? It causes issues of our family being unable not to afford dignified housing, quality of education in our city. So for me, you know, workers' rights, it's economic issue. It's a housing issue. It's really education issue. It relates to everything. So when I joined Workers' Justice Project more than a decade ago, it was about how we build communities and a society where workers can access to living wage jobs, economic security, worker representation, and the ability to make a better and to have a better life for them and their families. And that's why our vision has been about building worker organizing power, to make sure that workers have the ability to have rights, demand protections, and have the ability to live with dignity in their own communities and neighborhoods.
Lidia, talk about Los Deliveristas Unidos Project. Who are the app-based workers, delivery workers, and what are the conditions that they face that surely necessitate their organization?
Yes, so Los Deliveristas Unidos was really born in 2020, right when the city was confronting a global pandemic that impacted everybody in really low income communities. And when we started organizing and responding in time of crisis, as we have been as a worker center, we encountered that many of our members who were day laborers, construction workers, restaurant workers, were left without a job and transitioning to a new economy in an attempt to survive. And many of them have turned into app delivery work, being like the few jobs that were available to our communities. And many of the workers who were doing this work, who we call them, were transitioning from street corners to a digital platform or a digital economy. Many of them started confronting a new reality, right? That we started to organize around. One of them is many of the workers were encountering that they didn't traditionally have a boss that they can interact with them. Most of the interaction with their employer happened to be on an app. Most of their working conditions were controlled by an algorithm who did not understand their reality on the streets. And then they were stripped away from their basic rights as workers, were turned from workers to independent contractors, meaning they don't necessarily were entitled to basic labor protections that includes a minimum wage, that includes workers' compensation, the right to have to be paid overtime, and other basic protections that workers have in the industry. We also noticed that because they were considered independent contractors and during the pandemic, many of the restaurants weren't really opening their bathrooms. Most of them didn't have access to the most basic thing, which is access to a restroom. And so during this time, also workers realized that they were not paid. Some of them were barely making a minimum wage. And, you know, while workers were exploited and facing some of the most inhumane working conditions, big corporations like DoorDash, Uber, Grubhub were making millions of dollars from the labor of deliveristas. And many were left out on their own to pay their own operating costs, spending hours waiting for deliveries without pay. And this was a moment of frustration that the organization really took a moment to reflect and really empower workers that it was a time for them to organize. And that's when Los Deliveristas Unidos were formed as a response to the abuse that they were experiencing in the streets, demanding basic needs such as access to bathroom, the ability to make a minimum pay, to have more control about how far they want to travel, and really push back, right, on the fact that these algorithms and these platforms were creating a system that was making their conditions worse and were also impacting the ability for workers to be able to return home safely. It's been since 2020, we have calculated it's been about more than 20 workers, if not 30, have died already in this industry. The apps have turned app delivery into one of the most deadliest jobs that exists right now in the city of New York.
Is that because there's a quota or because they just need to go as fast as they can in order to get as much as they can, given the poor wage rate? Is that part of where the danger fits in? And then there's something else that I'm interested in about the organizing of Los Deliveristas Unidos. Is that the nature of the danger, though, the whole way the algorithm necessitates people essentially having quotas or they get tipped? Or what is it that makes it so dangerous?
Yeah, so there is many reasons why this job has become dangerous. One is obviously that, you know, most of the working conditions that are set up by these algorithms doesn't really meet the reality of workers, and this algorithm is really designed to maximize profit without caring about the workers' rights and workers' ability, right? So the apps have created a system that is designed to extract the labor of workers by pushing them to produce as much deliveries as possible in less time as possible. And they have created systems in place that the apps are actually labeling as top dashers, right? Kind of creating a race to the bottom situation that in order for a worker to be able to get enough hours of work or get enough hours or be prioritized in certain deliveries, they need to be top dashers. And what that means is that you're a worker who's pretty much accepting every order out there. You're a worker who's delivering on time, meeting the quotas that these apps are designing for you to meet. Mm. And they're using different methodologies to, you know, put pressure on the workers. And deactivation has been one of them. And deactivation, it is equals to a form of firing a worker. And we have seen how the apps are using rating systems on investigated customer complaints, actually penalizing or workers for arriving late for a pre-scheduled delivery, penalizing for being slow or late in completing an order. And we're seeing more and more systems, and what they use is what they call violations of terms of services. And these violations actually can cause from a worker losing a job or determining whether that work will have enough hours of work. Hmm. And the companies are designing this model because they want to keep pushing workers to make sure that they are making more deliveries in a time possible. They want to make sure that they're profiting as much as they can, especially in New York. These apps have become more aggressive since we passed minimum pay, since we mandated these companies to pay more. Workers are receiving a pay increase from almost $11 to $19.56. I mean, retaliation companies are trying to find new ways to avoid it, to be in compliance and try to make sure that they continue to make significant amount of profit from the workers' labor.
And Lygia, the thing that I really wanted to look at also, you had mentioned the word dignity earlier on when you were talking about your own family circumstances. And I want to know how these forms of organizations like Los Deliveristas Unidos and working as part of the Workers' Justice Project, how do these worker-based organizations work to confront and deal otherwise, really, with the terrible xenophobic diatribes about immigrants that politicians opportunistically conjure up to build their careers upon? How does that dignity occur? Can you take on these issues that are rife within our society now and propelled forward by the terrible vulgarity, meanness, and opportunism of the political class? Can you do that? Does that also happen in terms of dealing and humanizing these folks?
Absolutely. I think, especially the city of New York, who happens to be a city built by immigrants and based on a slavery system as well, has forgotten that its roots in terms of how this city was built. And it was actually built by exploiting workers. And what we're trying to say is that if be a city, a leader in our country of protecting workers, embracing the people who we welcome and actually have made a commitment to become a sanctuary city, it starts by also protecting the people who actually make the city run. And in order to confront that abuse, we're empowering leaders to make that systemic change by organizing. And we have Gustavo Ache, who's actually one of the leaders of the organization, who has actually been organizing day laborers and deliveristas since he arrived in 2013. He has been organizing in the front lines to make sure that his labor is respected, to make sure that people understand that he brings value to the city, to transform an industry. And for him, what that takes is making sure people get to listen to his story. You know, Gustavo is somebody who arrived many years ago, who has contributed with his labor in the most critical times of New York City, during Hurricane Sandy, during COVID-19, during the pandemic. When the city needed him the most, he was there. I remember he was volunteering when the city really needed support recovering from Hurricane Sandy. And these are the stories we want people to understand. Immigrants are people who are looking not only to make opportunities, to make sure that they're supporting and helping New York City overcome their challenges. And that's what we're looking and doing through our organizing. We're not only in the forefront of major recoveries, but we're also designing solutions on how we can make the city better. And the way to do it is by organizing, empowering workers to become part of the community, developing a state and local solutions that will actually make impact and make these jobs better and safer for everybody in the industry. And also how we can make sure that we can help the city envision a new future, that it's not only about protecting low-wage immigrant workers, but who lives in our communities. And that's what we're doing. And the best way to do it is by empowering the people who actually run this, who happens to be frontline workers, who are in the front lines of every emergency.
How many people are we talking about here? How many workers are we talking about? And are there workers in other parts of the country who are in similar positions? Are they organizing at all throughout the country?
Absolutely. I mean, just thinking about Los Deliveristas Unidos, there is most likely more than 65,000 delivery workers who are working. And those are the people who were in the front lines of the pandemic and continues to be in the front line whenever the city needs them the most, whether there is a heavy rain or snow. And then we're talking about 100,000 more of workers who are out there working in other industries in the city of New York. Actually, the Latino workforce happens to be one of the fast growing workforce in many industries and across the city.
One of the other things is, how are you as, and I want to look at some of the other campaigns that you're involved in as well, how are you trying to affect the working conditions of the app delivery workers that are part of the Los Deliveristas Unidos? And then I want you to tell us as quickly as you can, and we'll have you back to develop this at another time, but also some of the other campaigns, such as in the cleaning industry, campaigns that have dealt with drivers who have no heat regulations and things of this sort. And we should say, again, this is a national organization, although we like to think of what's happening in this city as a prototype for building nationally. So tell us a little bit about who's the target and how you're trying to get those conditions.
So Workers Justice Project is an industry. We organize low-wage workers using an industry-based approach. And something we know is that the jobs that where workers are experiencing the most abuse are industries where they consider entry-level industries and entry jobs for many of them who are attempting to enter in the workforce. And that happens to be construction, that happens to be cleaning, and most recently, app delivery work. These are the jobs that most workers, particularly immigrant workers, low-wage workers, Black and brown workers, are using as entry jobs to be able to make a better life. And our philosophy has been that if we're able to set up better labor conditions for these entry jobs, we're kind of creating a situation where we're raising labor conditions for every other job that exists, especially because these are jobs that makes every other work possible.
But is this about strikes? Is this about picketing owners' homes? I mean, how do you target, how do you effectuate the change? Or is it about passing new legislation?
It's a mix of both. It's about setting up new labor protections because it's really hard for workers in general to organize if there's no rights that are protecting them. But it's also about organizing in the workplace. So we make sure that workers who are experiencing workplace abuse, we can identify abusive employers that workers will take on and organize. We have, and we're also engaged, and that leads to doing enforcement, right? Passing legislation can mean nothing if we cannot enforce throughout organizing workers and building campaigns that can really hold employers accountable. We have started, I think, with App Delivery Worker, we're particularly targeting multi-billion dollar corporations like Uber, Grubhub, and DoorDash, which pretty much dominate the industry and set the conditions for every worker. In the cleaning industry, we're particularly targeting businesses who are emerging and have emerged during COVID-19 doing cleanup. And we're targeting employers who are operating in sort of in a underground economy by taking advantage of a newly arrived workforce. And also contractors. We're particularly targeting contractors who are working in buildings that in the future are meant to be affordable housing units, or contractors who have actually are putting the lives of workers at risk by building without any permits and with any regard of health and safety for workers. So we use a workplace organizing tactic by organizing workers in their workplace, doing enforcement and co-enforcement with agencies. Our strong partners have been the district attorneys, who have enormous amount of power. And right now what we're using is the defer action for workers, which is a tool to prevent workers from retaliating and working with fear. And defer action is a new tool that few people know and few workers know, that if you have filed a complaint against a labor agency and you're organizing and you feared or you have experience where your employer have threatened of deportation, you can get temporary immigration protection against possible retaliation, and you can keep organizing.
And that's even if you're not documented.
Yes, yes. And those are for workers because employers take advantage of workers who possibly their immigration status, where possibly they don't have an immigration status or they're going through that process, and they're taking advantage by creating fear. And this is one of the reasons why many workers fear of coming forward, is because of the continuous threats that employers enforce against workers.
Well, in the time that we have left, which is really about 30 seconds, how can people get in touch? Workers and people who want to become organizers and people who are consumers who want to back up these campaigns of immigrant workers and the workers in these low-wage industries who are being so horribly exploited. How do people touch base with you and get involved?
Yeah, so for workers who are looking to get organized, we always say, you know, look for your worker, for your local worker center, know your rights. Workers Justice Project has two worker centers, one in Sunset Park, one in Brooklyn. We're at 365 Broadway in
Brooklyn. Since this is a program that also goes out nationally, what's the website for people to get in touch?
Yeah, it's workersjustice.org. Check us out. We're in Brooklyn. And also we have a campaign that is Consumers Delivering Justice website, that is consumersdeliveringjustice.org. Check us out. Consumers Delivering Justice campaign is designed for consumers, for those that are actually using these apps like Uber, Grubhub for takeout. There's recommendations on how you can be involved, how can support local organizing efforts. And also for those employers who want to become ethical employers, hire more ethically. We also run hiring halls that can connect you, give you information, and connect you as well with workers who are organizing, and you can hire in a more dignified way.
So you should go to, you can plug into Google, Workers Justice Project. You're going to come up with wonderful people like Ligia Guelpa, who's the executive director with the Workers Justice Project and co-founder of Los Deliveristas Unidos. And we really want to thank you for joining us. We're going to continue these discussions, and we're going to go out on some of your organizing campaigns and talk to the workers directly. So what do we say? Well, we continue to say thank you for what you do, which is organizing, organizing, organizing. So check out the Workers Justice Project. And Ligia, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
So we say educate, agitate, and organize to empower we the people. No more genocide in our name. You've been listening to Building Bridges. Thank you for letting us in your home.